Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Ride or Dies for episode 135,000. This is the reunion. I am Brian Cohen. With me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I think I'm better than you. Are you okay?
You know what? I feel like it's just like I feel so disconnected from like this show with like Survivor starting. We got the new show starting next week. I can't believe there was two parts of the reunion that could have been like 15 minutes. I was just like, I feel like we put a bow on the season and like the reunion like didn't really tie much together. I'm like, I just want to get to like see what the Challenge World Championships is all about.
We had a little vacation last week. I think we did it right. Mm-hmm. I watched, I will say, both halves of the reunion today. So maybe probably that right also move. Helped.
Yeah, probably right
I agree it was a little disjointed, but I'm also doing something a little weird. I shouldn't mention it, but here I am mentioning it. I'm podcasting from my couch with a mug of tea. Usually I'm at my desk, very professional, but...
Are you laying down? Are your eyes closed? No.
I would say at worst, I'm in a Passover recline. Like I'm still upright, but I'm taking a page out of my co-host Brian Hakima's book and going a little off the beaten path in my setup. But I think that's how I'm approaching this is like, let's just, you know, take a walk down memory lane. This is what I took from the reunion is like, were there any bombshells? No. Was anything really uncovered? No. But as you highlighted, it's been a hell of a long season. And I do think I needed to be reminded of some of the things that happened. Like, I genuinely forgot about Jay and Jack's fight, for an example.
Yeah, totally forgot about that. Kind of forgot about, like, the Raven and Johnny, that they were, like, star-crossed lovers. And then he was, like, hooking up other people. They both did a pretty decent job. I think I would give it to Raven, the what's his name award, like the Gussie Memorial Award for getting yourself involved in drama to try to make yourself relevant. I think she did a pretty good job of that. So kudos to Raven to try to insert herself in the Challenge 39 possibilities.
I hate to disagree, but I do think the Gus Award got sort of lost in the sauce due to the people who were brought in. Like, yes, Raven's really only there because Johnny probably is connection to Nerys and they wanted to like talk about that. But like they went to her about their legitimate drama. And then I feel like we didn't get to her at all the rest of the show. So, you're welcome to give it to whoever you like. I don't really think there was a real standout. We keep going back to this person. They keep piping in for everything. Almost, I hate to say this, I a little bit was like, why are Darrell and Veronica there?
I had the same thought. I didn't want to be the one to
give it
to
Veronica. Yeah, but like, I can't give it to them. It's not the same concept.
Yeah, I mean, look, if Darrell and Veronica weren't Darrell and Veronica, they would have no business being at this reunion. But I guess just because of their status and standing within this franchise, like if they're on a show and they make it at all far, like, sure, toss them in there. At least Veronica, like, gets herself involved in stuff. Darrell, I mean... He's like, even in his heyday, he wouldn't be one to make reunion headlines. So, like, I don't know what he would really offer at this stage of the game.
I did love the cutting to Darrell tearing up. Like, now I can't confirm that he was actually tearing up at every scene they cut to him tearing up for. They might have had one scene, but like, it was touching. I don't know if there was a cut scene about them talking about like all of the late joining teams, and maybe that just wasn't interesting. Like, I really. Even with it being Darrell and Veronica, can't really understand why they were there.
Yeah. I'll say the person who I was amazed did not get more airtime, and that was Devin. I feel like they barely talked. Like, maybe in the first half, again, it was like a week ago, maybe I'm not highlighting as much. It just felt like they didn't really give him a lot of the spotlight. It was mostly Tori, because then Tori had a lot of stuff with Jordan and other things going on. But I don't think Devin really even spoke the second hour, and I don't think he really spoke that much the first hour. That was very surprising.
Yeah, especially because his journey is as interesting as Tori's. Like, we went to Tori for the Jordan segment, as you mentioned, and sort of like the mental health journey she's been on. As we've highlighted, and I'm sure a lot of other Challenge podcasts have highlighted, like, his journey is one of the more interesting ones of any Challenge champion, just in terms of like the rise. And I would have loved them to play the clip of Fessy and have them, like, you know, go toe to toe on that, that you highlighted in mm-hmm. your great TikToks at @CohenBryan_. I agree. I think that's been a complaint of like Survivor reunions. Usually the challenge reunions are long enough where you do get a segment on like congratulating the champions. They really didn't talk to Tori or Devin. They talked to Tori, but they didn't talk to Tori or Devin about like the significance of winning or their strategy or what are you spending the money on? Like anything to really acknowledge them as the winners.
Yeah. Maria like started off the reunion being like, we'll get to the 100-hour final and everything that matters with it after. And I felt like they like never piggybacked to it outside of talking about Olivia with her like amazingly near death experience that we could talk about. I can't believe that it was almost that level, but it felt like they never really got back to it. Other than, again, a lot of the Tory stuff. I was waiting for Devin to kind of have his moments. I don't know. It was very odd that they wouldn't give him, like you said, a full montage package. That they didn't really talk about his. It was very odd that Devin didn't get his spotlight.
You might think from watching the reunion that Benani won.
Right.
Based on, like, time and energy allocated to the mm-hmm. pairs.
Absolutely. Or Jordan.
Well. He didn't win anything at this reunion or show. Can we do a little red carpet report? I will say I was slightly bummed out by the looks. I don't think anyone like really stood out. I'm glad for any new listeners or viewers of the show. There was a definite lull where people had been on the show so frequently that they'd like show up in like chucks and a tank top to like
car. Yeah, the car reached that level where she was just like in a t-shirt and shorts, like rolled out of bed in the morning and just showed up.
Exactly. I'm glad we've sort of stepped out of that, but mm-hmm. I don't think like there were any like standout looks.
And I wonder if this was, I feel like I should know this, but was this like the first in-person reunion since COVID? Have most of the other ones been all Zoom? Have they done? Because I mean, this is the first like chat, like all stars, like they don't really do reunions. USA, they didn't do a reunion. And the other one, the last season ended so long ago at this point. Like, I don't know if we remember if they did an in-person reunion for that season.
The
37.
I'm Googling Challenge 37 reunion images and I'm seeing people on stage.
Okay. So then,
yeah, they were in person.
Because I didn't know if this was like a coming out party that people haven't had the chance to do this type of thing in a while, that maybe they wanted to kind of make sure they dress to impress. Because I thought everyone looked pretty good. I thought Darice looked great. I thought Tori looked good. I thought Amber looked great. Amber was glowing.
I mean, nothing stand out where I'm like, wow, that was a look. I mean, they've gotten away from it. Like the last few seasons, like people have come, especially with newer people. They like want to look good on TV. I thought Raven looked really good. I do mm-hmm. not like Horacio as a blonde gray hair.
Yeah, that's like the look, I think, right? Aren't a lot of people like dyeing the hair blonde? It's kind of like giving like frosted tips, but almost like the full hair going back to like 2002.
Look, there's a lot of things that are on trend that I can't pull off. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I don't like Horacio's gray hair.
Horacio was great. He was very funny throughout this reunion. He's really trying to, he was definitely trying to make sure he didn't like say anything controversial also. Like he didn't want to like ruin his image going into hopefully his Challenge 39 run.
What makes you say he was great?
I just enjoyed his banter with Fessel, that he was able to take jokes in stride. That I appreciate. That was probably his only moment, but that I found that great.
All right. What I thought was great is, and I'm surprised, like everything about me wants to dislike it, but I liked it. I liked that they had the daggers and you could like dodge a fan question by pulling a dagger on stage.
And of course, Devin pulled it, the only one.
Only because it like ran up and like was quick. Like if there mm-hmm. was like some real like Amber Nani deliberation about right. which dagger to pull, I'd be like, let's move it along. But you mentioned Amber. Two big announcements from Amber.
Mm-hmm.
In the first segment, we get an announcement that she's pregnant. And in the second segment, we get an announcement that she was just received a autism diagnosis.
Yeah. And very interesting way it came about. It seemed like she almost told Maria during a commercial break the way it was like initiated, because Maria set it up like, yeah, like during a break, like I overheard a conversation or we had a conversation that you wanted to share something. It was a very interesting setup that I don't think it almost seemed like Amber wasn't even preparing to tell everyone at the reunion. Maybe like she was feeling at the room and how she felt. Like, I don't know. It seemed like it wasn't like a prepared thing. It seemed like this was like during the thing she wanted to like tell a producer, like, I want to like share this with everyone.
Like, that is bananas. That is crazy. Maria said we were like Maria had like cards that said like, and she was like, you told me that you were doing things like mirroring and masking. Can you explain that? Like, that was not like an on the fly, hey, Maria, like, I've got to say something serious. Like, that was very prepared, as it should be. Like, I'm not like dogging them for, but like, I believe that Maria and Amber had a one-on-one so that Maria would be better able to facilitate the conversation. But that was not like, we're about to go to commercial, like, or at least that was not my read on the situation.
I did. Everyone reacted very well. Everyone treated her very well. I think the real test, I mean, everyone could react very well in the moment. I think the real test is going to be like, does this change anything? Right. Like, do people think more cautiously about how they talk about her? They trash talk her behind her back. Do they try to make a more welcoming environment for her? I think like the next season, like the Challenge Championships was filmed before this reunion. So I don't know if we would see any impact there, but if she's on Challenge 39, if things changed, I mean, I would hope so.
So here's the takeaway for me with this. I mean, I think it's awesome that Amber shared this, and it seems like she's still very much in the process of like going through this journey and what this means for her life now. And it's very common. She was tweeting about this, but it's also just true that it's like very common for women to not get diagnosed as children, girls, I guess, and learn later in life about things like this. I think it's a great reminder to all of us, myself included, to remember that just like, you don't have to know that someone has a diagnosis or is neurodivergent or whatever to like give them some grace. Like, we've been complaining this whole season about like, it seems so weird. They're harping on Amber. Amber can't do anything right. She hugs someone at the wrong time. She does at the wrong time. Like, I actually really wanted, and I get it, it's hard to do this. I genuinely believe the cast wasn't prepared wasn't pre-aware of it. I wish the cast had taken some effing ownership about how they treat her and said, we should have been more understanding, just period. Like, you don't know what someone's dealing with or going through or whatever. Even they don't know what they're dealing with or going through. I thought the like, oh, it's the pressure cooker of the house. And even though it doesn't seem like we care about you because we don't treat you well and we talk shit about you, we're here for you. I wish they had said like, this is stopping me in my boots and going to make me like not prejudge someone over every action if it's not completely in line with what I think their words or actions should be. So I do agree that it should get better for Amber, and I believe that it will, but I wish there was a little more ownership about like how they hadn't been understanding the house, and she shouldn't need a diagnosis to get some like understanding from her cast.
Right. Especially because like we discussed, like, there wasn't any major event that caused people. Well, it wasn't like she screwed people over in the game or she was doing anything like, or at least nothing that we saw that would cause such negative reaction constantly towards her. So there wasn't anything super clear on the audience's end about why people despise her so much. So the fact that it might have been a lot more of these subtle things that I really wish, like you said, they highlighted that a little bit more.
A few tweets just from Amber I pulled. She said, wow, thank you to all who have shown so much love and support. Y'all have no idea how much it means to me. This was tough to open up about because I was so afraid of continuous judgment for simply being myself. So I appreciate the army of people in my corner. Love y'all. Surrounded by love emoji. And she said, once again, my life is teaching me the strength of a fight, the ultimate test of moving forward. Next tweet. I will never forget who gave me a hard time when I was already having a hard time.
Why? Unfortunately for Amber, that's basically everyone. So that's quite unfortunate.
Fortunate for them.
Fortunate for them.
The segment that was interesting to me is like the, is it fair to get help from the audience segment? I wanted to ask you about this. Like, this felt like directly telling the audience to pipe down about it. The audience being like us, the audience. Like, I don't know that they really needed to discuss this as players.
Yeah, it was very funny. But I wish there was, it felt like there was no answer. It felt like everyone was just like, yeah, that's kind of like how it's been. And then the conversation was shut down. I was waiting. I wanted someone who was more vocal against it to like speak out a little bit more. Everyone was, it was because it was connected to the Turbo thing, and everyone was like, well, we hate Turbo so much, so of course it's fine. Like, I wish there was more of like the anti-sentiment person to speak out about why this is wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think like the most convincing thing for me was when they were all like, you all didn't care when it was Turbo. So like Jay and Michelle can't care. Do you think there's any distinction, what Jay was trying to argue, between screaming, like actually getting help, being fine, but when the challenge relies on listening and you're drowning out the other team so that they like can't do the challenge, you feel like there's a distinction there, or was that just like a waste of argument?
So what's funny is I actually think Jay was like arguing against himself. I think there's more of a reason. I think I would be more upset if people were strictly helping someone than the making noise thing. Because I think we discussed this at the time. Like, if you're making noise that you, it's blocking Jay and Michelle from communicating, it's also going to impact the other people from communicating. It's not like they can jump off this the ledge and like be right up in their face and start yelling to their face. If they're making enough noise from the audience, from the peanut gallery, that it's impacting Jay and Michelle from hearing each other, it's going to impact the other people from hearing each other. It's more so like if you're helping someone solve an individual puzzle, that is much more, I would have much more of a problem with than this.
I get what you're saying. I think in this specific challenge, we might have already had this exact conversation when the podcast aired, but like, I think in this specific case, it was, they were shouting out help to Olivia and Horacio such that Olivia and Horacio wouldn't need to communicate. Like, you could just listen, whoever had to spin the wheel could just listen to the audience. And that information wasn't like the same, like they're both working on a puzzle. And so just the noise of them helping them made it so that Michelle and Jay couldn't do the challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've always been very indifferent to this. I've always been with my, if they make a rule that you can't help them, that's fine. And if it continues the way it is, that's also fine. Pete, just adapt and play to what's currently happening.
I agree, and I don't think there's a distinction for the Jay and Michelle's argument. I think it's got to just be consistent. Mm-hmm. Help is help. They were being helped, and just because you couldn't surmount it doesn't mean that it was any... Like, Turbo and his partner could not surmount it, and the volume had nothing to do with it.
Yep, and but no helping in a final. No helping in a final.
Let's keep talking about Jay, because the Jack and Jay fight, I do think, added some interest. We got some interesting, like, color on what happened afterwards here.
Yeah, not a great look for Jay, it seemed like, where Jack and Jay were going to meet up for a lunch, and Jay, from Jack's perspective, it seemed like Jay wanted to make content out of it so he can look like the good guy of making amends. Jay seems like he just wanted to take some photos for Jack, for, I don't know, for his own, you know, wallet or something, I don't know. But it didn't seem great for Jay that he wanted to kind of Instagram-fy this lunch.
Okay, I do love that we have totally different opinions on a lot of the stuff covering the reunion, at least. Maybe the podcast will be interesting. So they were also going to the gym, which I think helps the content piece of it. Like, oh, I'll take photos for you at the gym versus like if they were just having lunch. But I love Jack, and I need Jack back on the screen because Jack acts with such confidence. I actually think Jack got bad advice from Laurel here, probably. But Jack acts like he's never heard of social media. He's like, he wanted to make like images for like the internet. Like, it's like my mom explaining his Instagram. Like, it was hilarious. But like, that's where I end at Jack's side, because like, they're all trying to be influencers, particularly Jay and Jack, who are not in strong, like regular casting positions. So like, why are we acting like, I almost wanted Jay to just be like, all we do is take content, make content, and post content. Like, that's what we want to get on the show. So me saying I'll bring my camera and it will be good for, even if he literally was like, I want to be like Joe Judas and Joe Gorga and take a video of us hugging in the Bahamas and we'll get 5 million views. Like, I want to reconcile and put it on the internet. Like, you should want to do that too. It's so, this isn't like me, like somebody selling like a Kiva trying to get followers and selling me out for content. Like, these are professional influencers. Oh man,
I would pay big money to see that conversation go down. That would be fun.
Now that I've screamed, actually that conversation has gone down. Kiva and I have had a fight and he's been like, do you want to just discuss it on a podcast? And I was like, no, but No, but like, I'm not a professional podcast influencer.
I totally get that perspective. I think that's totally fair. I just think if I'm Jack, I'm like, let's just, if you actually want to be friends, let's just have a lunch first. Let's have a lunch. Let's make amends. And then we can, if we want to like do the social media thing, we can do it after. But I don't want to just be social media friends with you. Maybe Jack doesn't want a longstanding life in TV and social media fame. I don't know. Maybe he actually just wanted a friend here. And he's like, let's just be friends. And then if we like reconcile, then let's break out the camera and do Instagram stuff. But let's just at least get to that level first.
And that would be fine. Like, I would really respect that. And I think Jay would respect that. But like, I think to like call the whole thing disingenuous because he's trying to like do both of their jobs while they're mm-hmm. there. Like, if one thing is like, all right, look, man, like, let's not like get all crazy. I want to just like you said, take a step forward, not like a leap. Fine. But there is more we didn't see. So Jack tweeted, there actually was resolution here. I did misunderstand his intentions. The text got miscommunicated on my end and I apologize. We both moved on. So, okay.
Jay and Jack have had a lot of problems communicating, even on the show, off the show. I don't know. They don't seem destined to be working together.
See, I love their friendship and I feel like this was like a stupid little roadblock, but you're right. It was probably too soon. Like, I don't know how much healing happened versus like how much was supposed to happen over this lunch and workout session. But yeah, I was disappointed. I do want to see them both back on a season together again. Mm-hmm. So I think they're a fun. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to veer off something else. So continue.
I was just say, I think they're like a fun, modern pair of frenemies, you know, mm-hmm. like not like Wes and Bananas, but Wes and Bananas, like, are they get along, they have a lot in common, but they have these like riffs. Like, I think it would be cool to have Jack and Jay like fill those shoes in like a very sort of new era of the challenge way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But go ahead, Vera.
No, I was gonna say, because I think the people who kind of took the thought process that you had were Raven and Reese, because I think they pent up all of their aggression for each other just when the cameras are on for this reunion. When it, from based off social media and other people commenting, I think they're like pretty friendly right now, and it seems like they really tried to hype up their hatred for each other at this reunion.
Interesting. I do not want to see the Raven Nerys pair of rivals, please. I'm just gonna put that into the world.
No more rivals. We need exes. If I can make a pitch to like the MTV people, let's not do rivals for like the 12th time. Let's bring back some exes. That's what the show needs. But yes.
I do not want to see the Raven Johnny pair of exes.
It never made sense to me, especially because they keep doing Love Island and all these other like dating shows. It's crazy to me they've never done exes again, but we'll see.
Whose side were you on in that love triangle feud?
Kind of neither, because I didn't like believe any of their feelings. I thought it was all I thought it was all fake. I thought they were all they were both just trying. It was the Gus move. Oh, but I guess it was not the Gus move because it was their own drama. But I felt like they were really trying to build it up a little bit more to try to make it a full segment, a full scene, to get the full airtime. Especially, at least Nerys, I feel like, had a little bit more going on. But if she's pretty friendly with Raven, then maybe she was trying to do her a favor of playing it up too.
That makes a lot of sense that you say they're fine on social media, because like, yeah, I do think their attacks on each other were confusing. I think I justified it in my head by being like, oh, if Nerys is currently sleeping with Johnny, then like, maybe that's why she's getting so hot over something that doesn't matter. But I will say, like, fight with Raven and Johnny was so classic, like, men not having, like, literal sex with someone, so then claiming they weren't doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, men have such a weird, not to generalize, I'm going to generalize, such a funny line of there was touching and groping, but we didn't kiss, but I was in your bed, we were watching the challenge, we had to, but, like, your hair brushed on my face, but I didn't move it. Like, you know, like if the CIA came and interrogated me, like I would pass that I didn't do anything wrong. It's like, bro, clearly you misled this woman. And we're just like, if I had to take the stand now, I would be fine. Mm-hmm.
Maybe trying to be a lawyer or something. He's trying to really get the fine print down.
I just have in my notes, men are so classic. That's not helpful. Me venting. I want to talk about Jordan and Tori, since we talked about couple that has not gotten to a friendly place. Let's talk about a very interesting resolution for Jordan and Tori here.
Yeah, they seem to be pretty good on both sides. It seemed like they kind of discussed everything they needed to on the show. They didn't seem to have that much else to discuss at the reunion. They kind of went back to the terrorist comment and the Fessel thing. That seemed like, I feel like they put that behind them. It was just kind of like rehashing. I feel like some old feelings kind of cropped up, but it does seem like they are in a pretty good friendship mind state. And I do wonder how much Tori winning kind of helps that. Like, to go through all this, like, Tori wins, she's obviously in a much better mindset of winning, she gets the money, she feels good about herself. I wonder if that kind of helps her put kind of everything else kind of at ease, kind of like bookend her story with like a challenge win, and now she's feeling better almost like about her life, about everything else. It helps to kind of put everything else behind you.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, at least it's a cherry on top of the sundae. It's a reward. It's a wholly personal reward for like reward. All of the work and labor. I think we talked about this in the beginning of the season. Like, I'm very obsessed with these concepts of like these conversations you'd never have in real life. Like, there's just no world that Tori and Jordan, or I'd say a slim chance that Tori and Jordan as ex-fiancés would like be forced into this level of closure. And I don't even like the word closure. I know Maria used it, but like, because closure is whatever. But mm-hmm. I just like to be able to have come to this place where, you know, Tori's like, I love you and I'm sorry for everything I put you through and I'm glad we're in this place. And Jordan's like, I love you and I'm sorry for what I put us through and I'm glad we're in this place. Like, that is unbelievable. Like, how many people who have gone through horrible breakups can get to that place with someone if they don't have kids or like some obligation to stay in each other's mm-hmm. life? I teared up at that moment. Like, that was closure for all of us. Like, we watched a hell of a season with them. We've watched their relationship from the beginning to the end. And I thought that was like a really, really nice moment that, like, Tori's win made kind of, for me, the drama we watched with them all season kind of worth it.
Yeah, and the Jordan and Tori stuff, I've never felt more disconnected than like from Challenge Twitter than I've ever felt with it. I feel like they got so much hate. Everyone was like, this is like, I don't need to see any more of this. This, I like, get them off my TV. This to me was like the most real drama in at least a few seasons of, I felt the authenticity from both of them. Both feelings I felt were valid on like every occasion where they were each feeling each other was wrong. I kind of agreed with both of them simultaneously at almost every juncture. So I'm glad that we got the bookend here. I think if we see more of this into next season, yes, I would be upset. Like, not upset, but I would be a little bit over it at that point. I feel like we got a good resolution outside of something else happening to one or the other in like off the show and personal life that would restart something. I feel I don't want this to be another ongoing storyline into season 39.
Or
Challenge
Champions. Aren't they both on War? Yeah. What is it good for or whatever?
Yep. That's the exact title.
Let's just roll into another sweet moment between Maria, who I do want to say, I thought Maria effing killed.
She's great.
She always does.
She's great.
She really came off as a fan to me, yeah. Which I liked. Whether that's true or not, I don't care. Lie to me well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've seen people try to be fans. No one will forget the swaggy P incident of him just saying like two words at a reunion. But this was fantastic job from Maria all the way around. Like the way she related with Nani so well. She like felt connections with Tori, with Amber. She really bonded. It felt like she had like friendships with all these people, which honestly she might, because she has been in like this entertainment space for a while. And people like Nani and Anissa have been in this entertainment space for a while too. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of them have developed some decent friendships.
I love how you said no one will forget. I have no idea what you're talking about. I'll always forget, Brian. You know that it's the number one rule of the
podcast. Oh, it's like he was the best reality TV host of all time. He hosted a reunion, co-hosted the reunion, and I don't think he ever saw a second of the show. Yeah, not Swaggy C, but it was like the original Swaggy.
Okay, wait, that's so confused.
It was like the original Swaggy, who Swaggy C dubbed his name after, just used a different letter.
No one could possibly forget.
At least me. I don't know. It's iconic for me.
Oh, did he co-host with, I just didn't know that was his name, but now I know what you're talking about. Yes.
I don't remember who the see. That's how memorable it was. I don't remember who he co-hosted with. Who
it did, was like the redhead who's on like Girl Code. And
yeah,
blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah. Her. Yeah.
Okay, that was really fun. Yo, I never can recall Swaggy PC and Bailey. They had me most in a reunion. That was so confused. And that was the best part. I was like, I feel like I would remember that.
Right.
Okay, sorry. This will like one day play as evidence of likelihood of confusion between the two names. All right. Sorry, that was really lame of me to say. Anyway, the moment I was going to highlight, Maria and Nani. I mean, not much more to unpack about Nani's story. I just thought, like, not a dry eye in the house. It's when we go to Darrell. I was getting emotional watching. Like, Nani had a really great season. I'm happy for her, and I'm glad Maria, like, connected with her on this level.
Yeah, I didn't know that Maria lost her mom also. Even, like, I was like, I think this is what she's talking about, and I just had to, like, double-check to make sure. But yeah, like, very sad, obviously, and everyone, yeah. It was, you know, is it possible to understand what Nani was going through throughout this whole season? So brutal.
Then I'll be honest, like, I need to save the turbo thing for the last.
Yeah.
But like, you mentioned Olivia, like the fact that Olivia would have died if that didn't hit her nose is terrifying. Like, I got physically sick from that.
Oh, it's unbelievable that, it could have went through her eye into like, that's unbelievable. It's frighteningly scary what could have happened to her, and luckily, I mean, it seems like she's all good. So unbelievable stuff, though.
I'm just like scrolling through. No real surprise hookup reveals, although I should say, like, whenever they reveal a hookup at the reunion, I'm like, why didn't we see this on TV? So right, I guess I shouldn't complain that then there's, but also there's no surprise hookup revealed at the reunion. But we did get an update on the Olivia Nelson situation.
Yeah, poor Nelly T was going through it. He moved past his bad boy images. You know, maybe that was holding his back in the dailies. Once he became like a respectful to women, he can win a daily. Did that, thought he would get the girl. And then Olivia's like, nah, I'm good. It's rough.
Were we watching the same show? Like,
what? This is not basically what happened. He's like, nah, I got hope. I had my life flash before my eyes, and I decided I didn't want Nelson in it.
Yeah, but okay. So, like, I think Olivia, I think, look, there's so many things at play. Like, one of them is just like, you know, challenge goggles. Like, I left and I didn't see a future with you. That, like, if there's a Jewish song on Passover, I guess I'm at a Seder. I'm in recline once, and I can only mention the Seder, like, called Dayenu, which means it would have been enough. So if Olivia had just said, I'm not interested, Dayenu. If Olivia had said, I broke my whole face open and sorry, this wasn't a priority, Dayenu. If Olivia had said, I really learned that I had, while the same time I was hooking up with you, I was meeting fabulous women in Anissa and Tori who helped me understand myself and that I could be independent and I don't need to be in a relationship and I need to find myself. So I can't be with you right now. Dayenu. All of those together still feel like Nelson has every right to be upset about it. Mm-hmm. But I thought he gave a very different performance in front of everyone on TV that they did in the backstage portion, where he got really close to her and was like very sort of confrontational about it. And I thought that was kind of effed up because she's sort of like has 99 reasons to not be with you. And you're like, it's really not fair to me that you didn't want to be with me. Like, I didn't think it was a great look for Nelly T.
I thought he was kind of like accepting that, like he can't, obviously he can't force her to want to like him, but he was just like, I wish this was the case and it's not. And I'm sad about it. You know, I'm ready for that person.
That's
in my
what
life,
he said on stage. Yeah. The backstage was like in her face and was saying like, well, what happens when you said this? You said we were going to do this. You said you invited me to Alaska. Like, and I get it because I've been hurt too. And it's just like not a great look when you're going down the road of like, you told me one thing and then you changed your mind because of all these valid reasons. But remember when you told me that? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't think it was a great look for our boy.
No, but I mean, it seemed like this was one of their first times talking in a while. It seemed like Olivia kind of just ghosted him, right? Didn't really talk to him, didn't give him any closure, quotes. But so he had a few things pent up and He just had to get a few things off his chest.
Mm. Keep the same energy on camera as you do backstage.
That's fair.
But the Nelson and Fessy story, I thought Nelson like got applauded where he should have with like, he took the high road. He always takes the high road. I thought this was a big like shout out to the War of the Challenger champions where Tori like says to Nelson, spoiler alert, who both of them will be on the season premiering next week. You don't have to have a title to be a champion.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's what they're telling us.
Right. And it was even more rich coming from Tori because I think she was literally on Champs for Stars when she also wasn't a champion. So fits very appropriately.
Do you agree with that?
Well, you're either a champion or you're a not. And he's not. But you could be, if the question is, he like, he's certainly not a legend, but like, if you want to be in like a different category word, you could be in that word, but a champion is just like a champion. There's no gray area there.
I agree. This is sort of like when the rookies changed me versus veterans. And it's like, yeah, I think we don't need to like broaden the scope of what a champion is. A champion is a finite, like, you've won or you haven't. You have a championship. You've like won a championship. So you have a championship title. So therefore you are a champion, or you did none of those things and are none of those things. But I totally agree with what you said. Like, is he a staple? Is he?
He can say he's an all-star. You put him in the all-star camp. Sure.
Yeah. He can be an all-star. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. But look, if we're just giving people championships, I'll start claiming I'm a challenge champion for just like taking it. I'll be challenge champion Brian.
Put it in your Twitter bio.
Yeah.
Make a TikTok, then it's official.
Perfect.
I just don't also think Jordan, I have a lot of respect for Jordan, the challenge athlete, but Jordan does not have enough goodwill in this community, like in this world, to be doling out legend titles. Like, Jordan has not redeemed himself with me enough to be like the arbiter of who is in the challenge legend category.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's to be reserved for not him at this moment in time, or probably any moment. Yeah.
Anything else you wanted to talk about before we talk about the original Pussy Chicken, the level 2 Pussy Chicken, and whatever else?
Did we always know Laurel was like a Northeast girl? I feel like I didn't know she was like Philly tough. How did I not know that about her?
Laurel has lived a lot of lives. I'm sure we knew that in the real world.
Yeah, she just felt like almost like a Jersey housewife coming out, like in one of like the way the accents were popping off. It was very bizarre. I feel like I still am learning things about Laurel. I learned for the first time she was an only child in this reunion. News to me.
Oh wait, no, she was fresh meat. Why do I have a vivid memory of Laurel like on the Real World, even though she wasn't? Who am I thinking of? I think I'm thinking of Ashley from Zach's season of the Real World. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. No, but just it feels like we're peeling back the onion of Laurel more and more every day.
I'm glad you mentioned this because that conversation with her and Michelle was very this was a very weird Laurel the whole time.
Yeah, she was also very choked up about Horacio with like a 1 week fling when they each had people back home. She was like very upset. She felt she poured her heart into this 1 week relationship. That was also very odd.
What did we not watch? Did you watch this on 2X?
She was like crying. She was crying when Horacio was like, I felt like I played her, and Laurel was like tearing up.
Okay. She was like, I'm not gonna be embarrassed. I had feelings for him. Work. Normalize having feelings and owning them. I loved that from her. I thought she said, like, I had a guy or a person back home, he had a girl back home, whatever. Like, what was not communicated to me was that, like, he was at a relationship level with her, and I wish I'd done that. We've seen each other since. We're both on the same page now. Like, we're not looking for anything, but we like each other. She probably kept the same intensity she had the whole time, which was very weird for me overall. But that particular moment didn't strike me as, like, wow, she's, like, weeping for this boy who didn't even like her.
She wasn't weeping, but there were tears. There were definitely tears flowing in the eyes.
Tears were flowing in the eyes.
I think they started to drip down the face. They were dripping down the face. There was a tissue needed at the end of the moment.
But okay. whatever. I think I just felt like Laurel's weirdest moment was the way she came at Michelle. I mean, she was just like at a 50 the whole time.
She was.
And I, like, something was off. Like, I was just like, we've seen Laurel like this when she's fired up. Like, why is this standard issue, Laurel?
But wait, I never heard, like, the scale be 50. So 0 to 50?
Well, I was going to say 10. And she was at a 50 out of 10.
I almost let that gloss over. I'm like, wait, 50? Is that a phrase?
She was at a 10. She was at a 50 out of 10. It's a fair question.
Okay.
But, like the Michelle thing. Like, I thought Michelle was being very rational. I'm saying, like, you were clearly on edge, but then you were good with everyone else. You weren't good with me. I also felt bad for Michelle. She was like, I was hearing from multiple people, including Veronica, including Bananas, that you didn't like me. And then those people were like, I don't quite remember. I can't. Obviously that's what they told her. No one was helping her, but Laurel just screaming at her. You're afraid of me. You're afraid of me. And I don't like you. And it's like, okay, so you're confirming that you didn't like her. So then she wasn't afraid of you. You didn't like her.
Yeah, that's Laurel's MO all like through the years of any time she's in a like, well, not all, most of the time when she's in like beef with a woman, it's always like, oh, you're afraid of me, you're scared of me, I'll take you out of elimination. Like, that's usually her go-to is people, she thinks people are afraid of her. Mostly because a lot of people are afraid of her. I'm personally afraid of her. So I think this, it could fit, but I just don't think Michelle was afraid of her.
And I think Michelle is probably afraid to go against her in elimination.
Who wouldn't be?
But now we're in the reunion. So, like, what is going on? Like, all right. Well, she was too distracted by her broken heart over Horacio. I am surprised. And I'll eat crow. I'm shocked they've seen each other and presumably hooked up after the show. Shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think he had any interest in her from the show.
Bananas and Mariah, no more. They said on the show they were still together, but I saw Instagram confirms they are no more. So Heartbreak Hotel there.
But I'm willing to skip everything else and just talk about Turbo and Lando.
Yeah, we can jump to Turbo because I was flabbergasted that he even made an appearance. Obviously, he wasn't there, but his video was... I felt like they didn't do it justice because... Like, the audience didn't really probably, like, fully grasp what was happening. It was also interspliced with, like, the people there making side comments. And I just wish they more, like, zoomed in and gave me the full view of the video and his roast. Because some of the zingers were, like, put him on Big Brother and put him in the Zingbot costume were very funny.
I need to know a couple of things. I need to know from you first, one. I thought from the preview that this was going to be, and we talked about it at the end of 2 weeks ago's episode, like, Turbo, come on out. Just kidding. You'll never see that guy again. And, I thought that was tired. Do you think giving him a five-minute segment, claiming that he was going to come but at the last minute couldn't, and was, like, play this whole video, are we going to get Turbo back on a season?
If I was at a 0 out of 50 before this reunion, I'm at least near a 10. Like, I can't believe I couldn't believe he had this full segment. You have Tori being like, I want to work with him. I know she kind of saying this in jest a little bit, but it's like, I'll throw away all my alliances to work with Turbo. I want to work
with
him.
That was fully a joke. That was not
I'm sure. But like, the point of her wanting to work with him, I felt like was a little serious, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
Are you pranking me? No, obviously, that's like, honestly, when she's like, that's the greatest film I've ever seen. Like, I love him. I'll throw everything away to like work with him. Like, I agree with her in that, like, that video is like almost makes you like him. Like, I feel like, why as MTV would you play that if like, I feel like it's 50-50 that he'll be back. I thought it was like he was done. It was done and dusted that he would never come back.
And he was like a great line about Tori too. Called something. I don't want to butcher the line, but it ended with her being called the two-face. Very funny.
Well, yeah. He said that she has a talent for finding pussy chickens and making them champions, and then calls her a two-face. The beginning was crazy. So people didn't watch your reading, they're just listening. Turbo had a home movie of sorts, like a Michael Scott production.
Literally.
Of a roast, like boom roasted. Then he starts with saying, "Welcome to the Karma Cafe. There is no menu. You will get served what you deserve," which is kind of an incredible line.
That's fire. It's a lit line.
Is he, like, I kind of thought he would never be back because of, like, psych eval stuff. Like, It would be, I know he was never, he was not removed from this season. But, like, it is kind of crazy to play, like, a threatening tape from somebody who, like, may or may not be able to pass the psych eval. Like, it's
right. Because he always borderlines the line of, like, yeah, this is like a little, he's like a crazy like cartoon villain, but also like he genuinely might try to murder someone and you lose track of like where he falls. Like he seemed like if given the chance would have murdered Jordan in the World of Worlds 2 season. Like he would have done it if they didn't like separate them and hold them back. And then it's like here, he's like going back to the cartoon villain with like the weird jump cut anime with the chickens and like and all this stuff, and it's like, oh, this is a goofy fun character, and then he also might just try to murder everyone in their sleep. And I don't want that person. Like let's just have Turbo roast people at reunions. Like that's fine, let that be his role. I don't need him like ruining a full season.
Yeah, I'm I have no idea. Do you think Turbo's in on the joke?
No.
Or is he serious? Because these were funny jokes.
This, I think he was in on the joke. But then, like, there again, like, he himself loses, like, where he falls in the line. Because he's just, you attack any level of, like, his character. And, like, the joke and, like, the character completely falls apart. And he will, again, just try to savagely murder you. So, if you keep him in this vein, like, yes, he's in on the joke. But he also can stray away from the joke very quickly. Or he's just the best actor of all time, and I'm, you know, put him and give him an Oscar.
It's possible. But I think that takes us out of the reunion. I don't know if you have your list of the where our finalists fall. I don't think we ended up doing that, of who we want, the order we want them to come back.
I did not do that, but I could do it right now.
So, yeah, so we have to put Tori.
I mean, it's more so like, I think everyone who made the final, you probably want to see back. I guess it's just like, I guess Anissa would be like the one. Be like, maybe could be done with Anissa.
So I put them in. I still have Nelson, Jay, and Jack above Devin, who comes in at my highest of the finalists. Then Jack,
if there's one Jack stan in the world, Allie is there.
I'm the Gus of Jack, whatever. Then Fessel and Horacio are tied. And then I put Jordan. And I put Bananas in brackets. I reserve the right to move him up or down. I don't really know. And then everyone else below. I have Tori as my number one woman I'd like to see back. Then the Olivia, Michelle, Laurel tier remains. Followed by Maurice, Nerisse, then Amber. Then I want to tell you that I've moved Mariah up from fourth to the bottom to there. Because I think actually Mariah has been a lot more interesting. Mm-hmm. As I've listened to podcasts, seen Twitter, seen her. I feel like she's someone who's like, all right, I saw my first season. I was under Fessel's thumb. Now I know how to play my own game. I think she could be very interesting coming back.
Mm-hmm. She was a little punchy with this reunion, too. She was going at Anissa a little bit. She was getting a little in the mix with Fessel. Yeah, she was standing up for herself. I totally agree. I felt I would like to see a Mariah away from Fessel, kind of standing on her own two feet. I think she'd be ready to dive into the deep end.
Then I have Nani, then Raven, then Veronica, then Kayla, and then is Anissa, and then everybody else below that.
Mm-hmm.
Nani, like, I'd be happy to see back, but like we've right. already kind of seen a world post Nani when she stopped coming back for a little while. Mm-hmm. And we were fine. And then Anissa, I mean, we've already discussed.
Yeah, I just don't, it doesn't seem like it's happening anytime soon, but I mean,
I like Anissa a lot. I think this has been her least, like, the way she's approached the season and like the bitterness and the like hyper like entitlement as I think not gaining her any points.
Let her host after shows. Let her, she got the podcast. Ooh. Let her stay in the mix. Yeah. Keep away from the from the proper season. We'll move to All-Stars. Move to All-Stars. The fun spot there. Stay over there. Let's get the, let's try to do a new crop for Challenge Proper.
You're here.
All right. I think that's it. Here it is. Challenge season 38. I got
next week. Usually be like, we don't know. We'll announce 6 months from now. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. We'll be back next week. I got a fun, I confirmed it with Challenge Stats, but 2022, the first full calendar year since the Challenge debuted 1998 that did not crown a champion. There was All-Stars champions. Of course, there was the USA, but Challenge Proper did not crown a champion in the calendar year 2022.
God, that's how long these seasons are.
Yeah. Challenge 37, the finale was like December of 2021. And then here we go all the way into February of 2022. Now March.
March, we need a Brian Stats support it, powered by Challenge Stats. It's like, we love it.
Well, this was my idea of a stat, and then Challenge Stats confirmed it. So
yeah, Brian Stats powered mm-hmm. by yeah. Challenge Stats.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll be
something there.
There's no break. Challenge Global Championships featuring some champions and some non-champions. Next week, Paramount Plus. Yeah, I mean, look, should be good. Should be good. They are airing it on MTV next week. I was double confirming there was no part three to their reunion. And when I saw like the challenge pop up on my guide, I almost just like passed out. But then it said and it was an hour and a half. So I'm like, oh my God, the part three is an hour and a half. And then it was Global Championship. So they're doing the premiere on MTV. The rest will be on. We'll be on Paramount Plus, which will feed into All Stars 4 coming soon after that.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
You can follow me on Twitter and TikTok, ConeBryan_. You can follow you
at Last Week.
We'll be back next week for Challenge Global Championships. Till then, have a good one.